Shouting off Parshas Bereishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim.
Keep going through.
Bereishis Bara Elokim, that's Shemayim as Aretz. In the beginning, God created the sky and the land. You did. It's a pretty good one. Now, the Torah has no real order. There is no real order. One of the rayas is brought up from this pasuk itself. What was created on the first day? Light and dark, or in Choshech. But this pasuk says, "Bereishis Bara Elokim es Shamayim v'Aretz." At first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the land and the sky. So, first of all, the Ramban goes through and he says, "No, this really does refer to the light and the dark." And he goes into it. The Or HaChaim has a pshat over here. But here's an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything, and then it goes into the Aretz HaSof. Well, God didn't create everything yet. You got to wait until the sixth day was done for us to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. So, I said over here. So we see, the Torah doesn't exactly have an order. Now, there's an unbelievable Ravina Bahaya. Ravina Bahaya says that if the Torah was written Kisidra, as it would be, just saying everything in the order that it should be and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be, all the secrets, I don't understand chronologically, where each pasuk should be, all the secrets of the Torah would be known. You would go around being able to be Machaya Mason. You could kill people on the spot. All your brachos would be able to be listened to. Yeah, it would be awesome, right? It would go together. You can't talk about each other. You don't do it the opposite order. You're not Machaya Mason and then kill people.
You do Machaya Mason on yourself as somebody's trying to curse you to death.
I can't tell you for sure. But you can go through everything. You could do Mofsim with it. You could do all different miracles. Anything that you would want would be there if the Torah was written in an order that would go straight all the way through.
Years long
also. I don't want to think you gotta, you don't want to go into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go into that at all.
Wait,
so this knowledge, the sodos of the Torah, the secrets of the Torah, was hidden from us. It was taken away from us so that people wouldn't abuse it. These are secrets of the world. The only people who do know how to do these things are those people who have gotten into the secrets of the Torah. Now, one of those ways of getting into the secrets of the Torah is not laughing at Chazals. To see something, and to hear a gematria, and to see a remez that's written in the pasuk, and to say, there must be an emes to this. I might not understand it, I might not get it, but there's got to be something. There must be something behind the scenes. If a person looks at something and says, this is just a joke, you're never going to get it. Because if you see something as a joke, and Chazal said it, this is a statement from Rabba, it's a statement from Rabba, the Baal HaTurim, who wrote the Arba Turim of the Shulchan Aruch, who gave us down the code of law that we have, if that tour also wrote a sefer on gematria, it tells you gematria is not just dumb. And if people laugh at it, you're missing out on huge secrets. Huge secrets. Because there's something that Chazal wanted to tell you that you're not getting because you're sitting there saying, eh, it's not that big of a deal. That's what we can get. If you do it in the right way, with the right reasons, you can get unbelievable things over here. Now, we can learn for the right reasons. We can learn just going into it and trying to get things L'Shem Shamayim. As long as we sit there and we understand there are some things that we're just not going to get. Something's not going to get. Perfect example, the first 6 days of creation. Nothing makes sense. Nothing. If light and dark were created on the first day, which did not include a sun, moon, and stars, then how was it a first day? Did it happen in a second? Was it 24 hours? Or Kaddish Baruch Hu was just like, light, waited 12 hours, and then said day? Like darkness, and then said day? Is that what a Kaddish Baruch Hu did?
No.
We don't know. We don't know anything. We have absolutely no Oraganus, is said over by Rashi. That's what the Midrashim says, that the Oraganus. We don't know what it means. We have absolutely no idea. The Parsha, this Parsha, right here, from Perek Aleph to Perek Vav, going through the Parsha up until we get to Parshas Noach, is 1,655 years. By far the longest Parsha in all of the Torah. It contains 1,655 years of history. All in one Parsha. You ain't gonna get everything in how many total psukim? Maybe 140? I forgot how many are at the end of the Parsha. No, you're not gonna get everything in 146 psukim. That's just not gonna happen. You're just not gonna get it. It does. But you're not going to get everything that he said straight out. It must be there's Ramazan. And we have no idea what it means. You sit there, and what do we talk about? Talk about Lamech and his two wives? Listen, my wives, come back to me. I killed a person with my hand. I mean, that's the psukim that you're going to give us? You're going to tell us about all these people, when they had children, what time they had children? That's what you're going to get. 1,655 years of creation. That's what you came up with. This is what we got? There's... unbelievable secrets here. The Ramban tries to explain the unbelievably long lifespan that these people had. The longest we have is Mr. Shalach at 969. We know that Adam Rishon lived 930, and all these people are living 900, 800 years, except for Chanoch, 365. But everybody lives such a long time. It was like Chanoch, 365 years. He was a youngin. You know, like 365 years. And clearly there's a remnant to 365 years. Gave birth at the age of 75, I believe it is. And he went 365 years. He was 65 years when he gave birth to Mr. Shalach, the Gematria of Adonoi, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And then he ended up living for 365 years, and he became an angel in the sky. There's unbelievable Rambazim over here. Unbelievable things. No, I'm going to tell you one. They were the Maisi Adayim of Hashem. You got to remember, these people were made straight from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the closer you are to the Maisi Adayim, the actual handiwork of God, the closer you are to perfection. The more close you are to perfection, that means naturally you're going to live longer. The earth was a different earth. Before the Mabul, the air was clearer. It didn't have, I don't want to say pollution, it wasn't polluted with the rain and everything else that came from the Mabul. The Mabul had not destroyed the air yet. Because of that, their lives didn't start to decline. It didn't start to go down in number until the Dor HaMabul. Once the Mabul happened, then all of a sudden the years were cut short. Then the Dor HaFlaga. When Tower of Babel came, and they were split off into all different parts of the world, and they weren't used to the air, they weren't used to the airspace that they were in. Like the people that used to live in Babel were used to that type of weather, weren't used to the weather in Africa. They weren't used to the weather in the middle of Asia. They weren't used to the weather all over the place. I remember when I first went to Eretz Yisrael, that first winter, I went crazy. Because weather is nothing like it is here. The winter here is cold. Okay, it's cold. You wear a coat and you're fine. You go inside a house, you're fine usually. You know, the air doesn't just come in with you. In Eretz Yisrael, it's there with you. You come in, the wind is just like, hey, how you doing, buddy? It's there the whole time. You have stone walls, and for some reason, the stone walls just say, like, come in, we got you. We'll take care of you. It's just what happens. You're not used to it. You're just not used to what it is. That's what happened to the people, and they started to decline rapidly until when? Until the Torah. Then it remained stable. Once it hit the Torah, that's when the years became 70 to 120. Those are the normal lifespans. Avraham Avinu was still way before. It started to still decline. His father lived 205 years. He lived 175 years. His son, Yitzchak, did live to 180. That's what all the Avos were supposed to be. But then it went down to 146, and then all the Shoftim went down. Everybody went down in number. Everybody started to go down a little bit. It was a different world. It was a different world because people weren't used to things, and the air was getting a little bit worse, and then whatever. I am not going to go into this sodos of the 6 days of creation. That would take, each day would take a shear. And we're talking like sheer. I mean, it would take a ton of work just to go through the first day, let alone go through every day and try to get down what Chazal are trying to tell us. For all I know, the world is 5,770 years old. That's what the Torah tells us. 5,770 years old. I don't know science enough to really think otherwise, to really go into otherwise. All I look at is I see the world as it is, and 1656 was the Mabul, 5,770 years old is when Adam Rishon was created. There's no reason to really think otherwise. Reb Schwab, however, has an unbelievable piece on something that happened that is just a secret of the Torah. Something that just is not understandable. And we're going to try to understand it tonight. He says it in three different places. Number one, he says it here in his Parshas Bereishis. He says it in his Me'ein Beis HaShoeiv on Chumash. He says it in his selected writings. It's on page 267 in the selected writings of Rav Schwab. And it's on page 65 on his Parish in Eve. When he writes a parish on Job, the good man, he has a parish on page 65. He brings it down in all different ways, but it all comes together in one. It's based on the following pasuk. Perek Beis, pasuk Chaf Gimel. And it's an unbelievable pasuk. We'll really start from the beginning, from Shlishi. It starts in Shlishi in the parsha. Vayikra Adam Shemos Achola Behemo Lo'opa Shemayim. Adam called names to all the animals and to the birds of the sky. I should read it. You know what? Really? I'm going to read the passage before that. I'm sorry. It says the following. Hashem God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. I will make for him a help opposite him. I will make for him a mate, somebody that he's going to be able to be together with. Next, God created from the ground all the animals of the fields, all the birds of the sky. And he brought them to man to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam Rishon called him, that would be its name. Adam Rishon called names to all the animals and all the birds of the sky and all the animals of the field. Yisra can I go, but Adam could not find a mate. Adam could not find a mate. That's a very, very strange thing. Right afterward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him in a deep sleep, takes away the bone, has Chava born, Chava comes about. That's how it comes. But very, very strange. What did naming the animals have to do with finding a mate? So Chazal say an unbelievable thing brought down in Rashi. It's brought down in Rashi over here. It says the following. It says, Ezer Kenegdo Yitzhak and Adama. I got to find it. Ozocha Kenegdo Liyuachim. Okay, I'm not going to find it, so I'm going to bring it down from the Medrash. Oh, here we go. Zosapam. Malamed Shabba Adam. Al Kol Behema Vachaya. Adam Rishon was together with, had deal with, every animal and wild animal, Voluniskara Daito at Shabal Chaiva. And he didn't get cooled down. He wasn't settled until he had deal with Chava. Until he was together with Chava. Until that point, he hadn't found anything that was connected, that he was able to be together with. Now, that sounds ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ridiculous. What, he was together with donkeys? With elephants? Chas v'shalom, this man, other reason that he was together with animals. What kind of, I don't get it. What kind of a drush in Chazal is this? Just think, why would a person come up with such a drusha? Why would a person say such a thing? There's got to be something that's beyond the secret over here. This is not a normal thing to say. Who in the world would say that about, number one, about other reason? Number two, what would be the point? What in the world is the point of that? What in the world is the point of that? Why would he be together with them? And birds? How in the world is he together with birds? Just physically speaking. What in the world does that mean? The whole thing is just unbelievably ridiculous. The whole thing, it just doesn't sound right to us. So what does that mean? So look at the wording. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim minu adama. God created, formed from the ground. Kilu, they were just created right now. But that's not Lamaisa. Hold on a second. They were already created. Adam Rishon was created after all the animals were there. The animals were created in the beginning of the morning, and then Adam Rishon was formed, and then the Nesham was thrown into. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that goes through every single thing that happened on that day. So Adam Rishon was created after all the animals. So what does it mean? God created them from the thing and brought them over to Adam Rishon? No. It shouldn't have been that way. They were already created. That's number one. Number two, every time that it says the word Chaya, up until this point, it mentions it as Chayas Ha'aretz, the wild animals of the land. Here it uses the words chayat ha-sadeh, the wild animals of the field. Wild animals of the field. What's the difference? That it was chayat ha-aretz and now it becomes chayat ha-sadeh. What changed that made it into something different? What became something different over here? Okay. Those are the two main questions. Maybe it's the following. Chayat ha-aretz, the wild animals of the land that were created before this, the elephants, the donkeys, the monkeys, maybe monkeys, when it goes through all the different types of animals, those animals have no real intelligence. They don't really look like us. They don't really have any shaykhus. They have two eyes, they have a nose, they have a mouth. There are people that you'll see that look like a vulture. There are people that you see that look like a mouse sometimes, you know? There are people that you see that have a, you know, a little thing. Monkeys, not apes, but monkeys. Monkeys. There are some creatures that you just, people you look at and you're just like, that guy, if he was an animal, he'd be a lion. And that's what I'm trying to go with my beard right now, you know? It's like, one thing after the other. There are certain people, you look at them and you think, that's this animal. It's this animal. It's just a thought that pops into your head. That's true. Sarns have no real intelligence. Yeah, maybe they can talk. Dolphins. Okay, that might be a little bit different. We'll get to dolphins. We're going to get to dolphins. But there's no animals. Even though dogs are smart, they're not smart. They're like great. They don't have real intelligence. They don't really have anything. And they don't really look like us. They have features that are similar to us, but not exactly like us. They're not exactly like us. But that's Chayas Ha'aretz. Chayas Ha'sodeh are different. Chayas HaSodeh are similar to us in appearance. They look like us in their appearance. And they have more chokmah than any other animal. Here's the call. It could be they can even speak. But they have no neshama. They're different from Adam in one huge way. Huge way. They have everything else. They look like us. They might even act like us sometimes. And they might even be able to speak a little bit like us. They might be able to have it. And we're going to. They're going to be able to speak like us. But they're not Adam. They're Chayos. Granted, of the field. They can work in the field, says Rav Schwab. They can plow. They can plant. They can do things. They would be able to do things. But they're Chayos. They're wild animals. They're still wild animals. They are not considered like a person. This would have been prehistoric man. prehistoric man, the caveman. That's a very interesting, unbelievable thought. This is a prehistoric man, a caveman that existed before, not before, at this, at the time when we had Adam, another man that was just a little bit different. They walked upright, they talked a little bit, they had the ability to move, but they never really left the Stone Age. They never really left that age, the Stone Age, maybe the Bronze Age. Maybe the Bronze Age. They never really got around that sort of a thing. And it's possible, says Rashab, that they still live today in uncivilized parts of the world, in jungles in the middle of nowhere. They could still be there in the most remote places of the world, on mountaintops, in the middle of nowhere, places that you would never expect them. You'd find these people out there. The creatures can't get themselves out from what they are. They're chaos. They're chaos. But they act like people. What?
For Geico.
For Geico. Don't make fun of people right now. There are people you can make fun of over here, but don't make fun of them just yet.
Goy
does have a neshama. He doesn't have the neshama of Klal Yisrael. He has no chance to have a yichidah, which is special by Klal Yisrael specifically. He does have a neshama. He does have the nefesh and the ruach. This guy doesn't. This guy is absolutely nothing. A goy is below a Jew in certain ways, but he still is a neshama. He still is a form of a neshama. These guys have nothing. They have the same thing as a regular animal. They're no better than an elephant when it comes to the neshamas. They just look like us. They act like us. There's a Mishnah in Kilayim. Parak Ches Mishnah Hay. It mentions a couple animals, and it says, is it a chay? Is it a behema? Is it a chay? Is it a behema? There's one animal inside there. It's called the Adnei HaSodeh, the master of the field. The Adnei HaSodeh. It's a different people translated in different ways. The Mishnah argues, what is it? Is it Tameh or Tahor if it dies? Is the animal's body, is it considered like a human being that's Tameh Ba'ohel or not? And the Gemara, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama, Kilayim Ches He. So the Tanakhama says, it's a Chaya. It's a Chaya. It has nothing to do with it. But Rabbi Yossi says it's an Adam from a Pasuk. He says it's a type of person from the Pasuk. And he goes into it from the Pasuk itself. Listen to this. The Rambam says it's a type of monkey. A type of monkey that has the ability to do something, whatever it is. The Pharisee Saul says an orangutan. He actually says the word orangutan, which is one of the coolest things in Hebrew you can ever see. So an orangutan. But the Rash and the Rav, the Rash is a Baal Tosfos. The Rav of Avadim Batsanura, who moves to Eretz Yisrael toward the end of his life, also a very early Rishon, says it's a creature that has the face, the body, the hands, the feet of a human being. It looks like a human being, but it's attached through its belly button, seems to be a chedel, a rope that connects it to the ground. Something that connects it to a ground, something like a pumpkin, it seems, that is connected to a seed and a gourd in the ground, and it grows out from that, it becomes there. That's what they say about this guy. Now, the Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, in Kilayim, Perkas Mishnah A, calls it Min Adam Hu, it's a type of Adam, Hu Bar Nash Detur. It's the man of the mountain. The man of the mountain. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable Yerushalmi. He doesn't mention anything about the Chevel. The Chevel is brought down by the Batanu and the Rash and by other Rishonim. It's not brought down, the Rabbeinu Bechaya mentions it. It's brought down, the Imam always quotes it from a couple people. It's all out there. The Mishnah goes into whatever it is. It's the same thing as a creature that's mentioned in Iyuv. Perek Hei Pasuk Chof Dalet. It's called the Avnei HaSodeh, also known as the Son of the Field. The Avnei HaSodeh, known as that, similar to the Adnei HaSodeh. Again, both words, the Avnei HaSodeh and the Avnei HaSodeh, both deal with the Sodeh, with the field, as opposed to an Oretz, and things like that. It's an unbelievable thing. Rishwab says, the Pshat behind it having this gourd connected to the ground, it's a remes. It could be that there's something that connects it to the ground in some way, shape, or form, but the Pshat behind it is, it's connected to the ground. It can't get itself outside of physicality. It can't get itself outside of Gashmias. It's a human being, so to speak. But it's a human being that's not like us. It has no neshama. It has no connection to spirituality and Shemayim. For all intents and purposes, it's an animal. This is an animal. But it's a type of person. A type of human being. There's a Taimim and Hagim and a Seder Adoros that brings down that there are 365 different types of human beings. 365 different types. And he mentions them, some unbelievable things. Two-headed people. People that have two mouths. People that have heads of lions and bodies like people. And vice versa. Bodies of horses and lions and heads like people. People that are sort of obviously destroyed and everything like that. And all these different things, all these different parts of these types of creatures. 365 and goes into it. Yeah, we can go into minotaurs and the centaurs and all those things, etc., etc. Bechoros Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Bechoros Ches Amud Aleph says there are dolphinin. Dolphinin. Does not mention what these dolphinin are. The Gemara says, and Rashi says, Parin v'ravin mibnei Adam. They can have puravu, they can be together, with people, and they can have a child with people. Now, we don't know any dolphin that has that ability. A type of mermaid. It's called a siren in the Hametargim, when he goes into the word that's being used over there. Sirens that are mentioned over there. The pshat is these creatures are connected to the ground. They look like people. They might speak a little bit like people. They might have actions that look like people's actions. But they're not people. They're not people. They're animals. For all intents and purposes, they're animals because they have no neshama. But what's one thing that they do have? They have a possibility of being mezavig, of being together with Adam Rishon. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Chayas HaSodeh over the Adam Rishon, what did he bring them? He brought these types of Adam toward Adam Rishon, but Adam Rishon didn't want them. Because even though they had a goof, even though they had Gashmias, they had no neshama. And Adam Rishon couldn't find some type of a connection with them. Yes, they were physical. Yes, there were bodies. Yes, it was something that gave him he had a tie before, and there was something around that he was able to get something from. But it wasn't something that he could get any real hana from. Because there was no neshama. There was no neshama. There was nothing there. There was nothing that he could really get from. That's what it's referring to over here, and that's what it means by Adam Rishon was together with. Now, here's one of the rayas. Brings down the Nahash. We know the Nahash was a man-like creature. Arms, legs, was able to walk on 2 feet, was in Gan Eden, and it talked. And it talked to Adam Rishon. A Nachash can't do that. A Nachash can't do that. And if you say, well, all Nachashim were like that, there's a Pasuk that's translated by the Yerushalmi. When it goes into all the Ramasim that were created on the fifth day, the bugs that were made. Ramasim include snakes. All snakes were born that way? No, there were Ramasim. They're crawling on the ground, and it includes snakes. That means there were snakes already. But then there was the Nachash. Ha-Nachash, this special Nachash that had 2 arms, 2 feet, and was able to walk. It was different from the other Nachashim that were out there. It wasn't the same as all the other Nachashim that were out there. It was able to talk. It was able to walk. It was a Chayas HaSadet. Notice what the Pasuk says when it mentions the Nachash for the very first time. The very first thing that we know about the Nachash is it says, the Nachash Haya Arum Mikol Chayas HaSadet. Whoa! He was the smartest of all the Chayas HaSodeh. Not the Chayas Aretz. Not from the Behemos. He was the smartest of all the Chayas HaSodeh, meaning he was one of these human creatures that was created that wasn't human. It had no neshama. But it acted like a human being. It talked like a human being. And had the ability to walk erect like a human being. But it wasn't human. It wasn't Adam. It wasn't Adam Rishon. It wasn't like Adam Rishon. And therefore, it was different. The Gemara says about the Nachash and Sanhedrin Nun Tesima Beis, he would have been our Shamish. That was the point of these types of people. To do whatever we wanted them to do. They were there in the world for us to be there. When we no longer had them, well, they no longer needed to be here. They no longer needed to have any sheikhs with human beings. So the ones that are in the mountains, they stayed in the mountains. Kirchhoff can allow them to be. There's no reason why he can't. They're animals. So just like he allowed elephants to continue living, he allowed these people to continue living. Did they make it onto the Teva? I don't know. I don't know how they would have made it onto the Teva, or if they're included in something. I have absolutely no idea. Mistama, they're the Chayos. So why wouldn't they have made it onto the Teva? There would have been 2 of them that made it onto the Teva of some type, some form, and they would have gone into the world. But we don't need them anymore, so they're out. What do we need them for? It's about the centaurs, the minotaurs. Why don't we see them? Why don't we know about them? Because what do we need them for? They were supposed to be our servants. They're supposed to do everything for us. We would have lived in Gan Eden, and they would have done everything for us. The Nachash would have been our servant, bringing us gold and taking care of us while we were there. And these other things would have done other things for us. We don't know what it would have been. This is a world that we don't understand. A world that we never would have gotten. After the Chait, what happened to the Nachash? It lost its legs and its arms and everything. And it fell down to be a Nachash, just like all the other Nachashim that were out there. It fell down to be mamish an animal. That's just stomach an animal. Mamish an animal just like everything else. And I have a theory. I don't know for sure. There are 2 different types of snakes. Really, there are 6 different species of snakes within the snake family. I mean, there are thousands of species. But within the species of snakes, there are really there's 6 different types. There's colubrids and lapids and things like that. Regardless, when it comes to snakes, what? Come on, you're talking about an animal guy. Either way, when it comes to things like this, there are constrictors and there's poisonous snakes. The snakes that go around and constrict, that meaning the boa constrictors, anacondas, pythons, that kill you by squeezing you. And then there are poisonous snakes. Now, different types of poisonous snakes. Poison that comes from their upper fangs, like cobras and things like that. Or there's poison that comes from the bottom teeth. There are other ways of them injecting poison as well. There are all the different types of poisonous snakes. It could be. Chazal tell us all the time about the sultan. The sultan is in the nachash. That the eris is bein shina. The poison of the sultan is within the teeth of the snake. And that the snake loves biting. But I don't get it. Constricting snakes don't bite. It could be that the original snakes that were made were the original snakes that were constrictors. Those were the nachashim that were made on the first day. But the nachash that was made by Adam Rishon, the ha-nachash that we know that tricked Chava, that was around Chava and that was around Adam Rishon, that snake might have been the poison snake. It didn't have poison at the time. But a Kaddish Baruch Hu cursed it and made it go down to the ground, took everything away and gave it poison. And put poison in it at all times because now it's nachash, it's the sultan snake. This is the sultan's type of snake. There have been two different types. All of them have poison, but some of them are hidden. In other words, by the constrictors, it's not a real poison. It's not a poison that can affect things, really. Meaning a python will bite you, but it's not a type of poison that's going to affect the animal that's there. And that's why it has to constrict. It has glands, but it doesn't... And even the glands are in the wrong place. They're in the wrong area. It's like the glands that are used by Komodo dragons. There are different types of glands, and lizards have all those types of glands. But the poisonous snakes, we know, have extra glands right there that were put there. It could be that's the difference between those two types of things, that they were mentioned that way. One problem. Okay, so that's the Chayas Hasada. What about the Ophos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayitzar, it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min Adama, from the ground, Kol Chayas Hasada, this Kol Of HaShemayim, the birds of the sky. We just took care of Chayas Hasada. That refers to all the different types of human beings that we just said. What's Of HaShemayim? What was Adam Rishon with? What kind of Of HaShemayim? What did that mean? What did that do for us? What's the Of HaShemayim over here? Well, there is an oath that was created on the sixth day. The Ophos were created on the fifth day. But there are Ophos that were created on the sixth day. What Ophos were created on the sixth day? Flying creatures that were created on the sixth day. Shadim. All the different types of demons. Well, there's another creature out there. Now, granted, Gemara says that they were created Erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashos. They were put Ben Ashmashos, meaning right before Shabbos fell, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll give you bodies. Didn't give them full bodies. Gave them half bodies. That everybody would say, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu finish it up? Because Shabbos came. So just like Hashem stopped doing whatever He was doing, so too we should stop doing whatever we're doing. So just when Shabbos comes, even though we're working, even though we're in the middle of something, we should stop. So Shadim have half physical bodies, half spiritual bodies. But here's Pshat, says Rosh Chodesh. The Shadim were created before that, with pure spiritual bodies, no physicality whatsoever. The idea that physicality was left until Ben Ashmashos on purpose, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could teach us a lesson. But Lamaise, at the beginning of the day, He made Ruchos. He made spirits. He made these types of Shadim, these types of demons that were out there in the world, but had no physical body. It's possible to be together with Shadim. A person can be together with Shadim. What's the Pshat behind that? In fact, there's a question, if a woman is mutter to her husband, if she's together with a shade. It's brought down by, I can tell you a couple of Shas Jews, but we'll give a couple. The Or Zeruah in Simon Kuf Chaf Dalet says there's no Isra of Znus when you're together with a shade or when she's together with a shade. And he gives Maisim on how people together with a certain shade, and yet the woman was still mutter to her husband. That's what the Or Zeruah brings down. That if a person is together, if a woman is together with a shade, she's still mutter to her husband. The Maram Milublin, famous Maram Milublin, in Shaul Sechuvah Simon Kuf Tezayin, says the reason why. Because in order to asur a woman to her husband, she needs Ishus. She needs to be together with somebody who has a gedder of Ishus, somebody who can marry her in theory. And a ruach, a spirit, a shade, is not an ish. And because of that, there's no way for her to asra. But to a Kohen, the Maral Mublev says, if a woman is together, a woman who's married to a Kohen, is together with a shade, he has a suffix. Maybe it's an issue of znus. Maybe it's like being together with an animal, and it's like being together with an animal, maybe that's what's asra. But nearly lochshash. Says the Maral Mublev, I wouldn't asra it. I wouldn't asra it. If we know that a woman who's together with a shade, is she mutter to her husband who's a Kohen, says the Maral Mublev, I can matter it up. I'll be perfectly fine mattering it up. The Beis Shmuel, in Simon Yud Zayin, says another reason. He says because the shade is always forced. A shade is never berotzen. It's never in a willing way. The shade doesn't want to be together with a person in a willing way. A shade wants to be together with a person in a forced way. He wants to force himself upon the person. Because that is never a berotzen. It's never something that can ask her on her husband. It's only bonus. And a rape, we know, is still mutter to her husband. But according to that, you're still usher to a Kohen.
because a Kohen's wife who's raped is still usher to the Kohen himself. That would still be a problem. So you have to say something very similar. The Shaul situation was Machane Chaim. Evena Ezer, Chela Gimel, Simen Nun Hey. There's a big difference. He says it's different by a woman and a man. He says a shade cannot impregnate a woman, but a man can impregnate a shada. So here we go. A man can have multiple wives. That's before the Takan of Rabbeinu Gershom. For the Takan of Rabbeinu Gershom. That means that if a man is together with a shada, even if that shada, that female demon, gives birth, it doesn't make a difference. You're not usher to your wife. But the opposite way, if the lady is together with a shade, the shade has no power to make the lady give birth. So therefore, there's no way that she could be ushered on her husband. Because even though the shade was together with that woman, still that's not something that can usher her upon her husband. This is an unbelievable... These are all the shells of truth on it, yes. A spiritual body. A spiritual body. It is a spiritual essence. What it really is imagine yourself having a dream and watching yourself doing something in that dream. What you're together with at that moment is a shade. That's what a shade does.
Yeah,
there are ways of having a while a person is still awake, but it's more in a sleep form when you imagine it. That person that you're together with in the dream is that shade. That's what the idea is behind it. We cannot say how they affect us nowadays because we don't have the ability to see them anymore. They were taken away by Rabbi Elazar Migarmiza. The power of the shade was taken away by Rabbi Elazar Migarmiza. They're no longer in this world for us to be able to deal with. Although those in Africa, there are people in Africa who swear by the genies. That's where genie comes from, by the way. Where they swear that there are genies all over the place and there are certain people who say that they're able to see them. They could be crazy. We're talking about many, many people, tribes, who live off these genies and they have magical properties from these genies, from these types of demons. I don't know. I can't honestly tell you. I have no idea how these shaitan work and how it doesn't. We just don't know. I'm sorry? Probably 13th century. Late 1200s by realizing we're going to be Balaitosos. There were certain people who could. But remember, every time, the more Kedusha there is in the world, the more their power is diminished. So the more we learn, the more their power is diminished. And a person can knock them out from the world entirely, even though a person's not Jewish. And there are Shaden Yudain. There are Shaden Yudain. There are such things as such Shaden. But that's not the time for right now. Either way, he's got a crazy case. The only time that we have a case of a shade impregnating a woman is actually next week's parsha. Ham's wife was together with Shamchazai, who is known as one of the fallen angels, one of the Nephilim. Shamchazai and Azoel. Shamchazai was together with Ham's wife. And the reason why Ham was together with his wife on the table was to hide the fact that Shamchazai was together with his wife. But the child was still a child. The child that Ham's wife had was Og, Melech HaBath, was Sichon, I'm sorry. Sichon, the brother of Og. I thought Sichon and Og were brothers, even though only Og made it on the outside of the table. Sichon and Og were brothers. It's mentioned many, many times. It's all over the place. But that's where it came from. He was together with Ham's wife. How is that possible? Because it could be that before the Teva, before the Mabul, the Nephilim were given permission to be able to come down and have this power to be able to impregnate. But we don't have it anymore, and it was never after the Mabul itself. But either way, Adam Arishon was offered from the Ophos HaShemayim. The Ophos HaShemayim that were created on that day. What Ophos HaShemayim were created on that day? Shadim. Shadim can fly. They have wings. Now, I know how they're not really physical. They're spiritual, but that's what a ruach is. They have the ability to fly. When the pasuk says in Noach, "Gam ko'ov v'kol kanaf," were brought to the table, the birds were brought in. Says Rashi, that includes shadim, because shadim are a type of bird. It's a type of bird. That's what. Yes, he says the shadim as well. That the shadim made it onto the table. We're talking about something that's a neshama, but not a goof, as opposed to the chayas asada, which was a goof without a neshama. Both of those types were brought to Adam Rishon. Do you want to be with the Chayas HaSodeh? Adam Rishon said, no, I don't want a goof without a neshama. Then they had the Ophos HaShemayim. He said, no, I don't want a neshama without a goof. So they brought him Chava. And that's what came in. So when it came that Adam Rishon was Baal, Kol Chayos VeOphos, what it means is, what it refers to is, what this Medrash refers to is, the ability for Adam Rishon to be together with something of his like. He was never together with donkeys. Not together with an elephant. Not together with the animals of the world. Not together with those types of creatures. The Chalmet, there's no reason why. There's no shaykhis to such creatures. There's nothing to that. The Pshat is, he was with creatures that were similar to him. Similar in the Chayos HaSodeh and the Ophos HaShemayim, which refers to Shadim. That's what it was for. That's what it was referring to over here. And he didn't like either one. Because neither one was like him, having an neshama and a goof. So he got Chava. That's why Chava came into existence. That was the point behind. Now, I will tell you, that's a big chiddush. That's a massive chiddush. So I'm going to give you something that you can say at the Shabbos table. Because you ain't going to say this. This is not going to be said over. I understand. Adam was given Ruach Ba'apov. He was given Ruach Ba'apov. Kadosh Baruch Hu blew Ruach inside him to make him be able to speak. To make them be able to speak. Some say that only those with an neshama have the ability to speak. That goes against this Rav Schwab. Some say only those with an neshama have that ability to speak. Even though there are birds that can speak, they're only mimicking, they're copying, they don't really have the ability to speak. But some say that it's only there. Listen to this verse. He says, what was the point of speaking if there was no one there to speak to? There was no chava yet. There were no animals. The animals were there, sorry, but nobody could speak back to him. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create him with the ability to speak? Again, this goes against the Rosh Hashanah that we said before, but why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create him with the ability to speak if he had no one to talk to? Again, it's sort of like, it goes against the board. Every other Achronim say that the Nachash never really spoke. He had the ability to, yeah, it was sort of like an ability to, he hissed, and they could understand the hiss of the Nachash. They were able to understand it. I'm sorry? You're 100% right. But there's no need for that. There's no need for that. You can do it like that. But it's to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pshat is, what do you need speech for? You need speech to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. For what? What do you need to talk to God for? To daven. None of the plants were there. And Adam Rishon had to daven to bring the plants up from the Aretz. To have the plants grow up from the Aretz. In order for that to be, it was Terami Ev Aretz. Before they were there, Terami Yitzmach, Kilo Himter Hashem Elokim Al Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let it rain in the land. Says Rashi, because Adam Rishon had to daven for it. Do you hear something? Why were we created with speech? Not to talk to other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created us with a mouth, but without vocal cords. The way we would talk to other people? Sign language. Telepathy. Some other way. Why do we have speech? To dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to say words out loud to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole reason for speech. And what was the speech for? What for what tefillah? To dive in for what? For rain. That's why. If you skip out on any two words in your Shemon Esrei, you don't repeat your Shemon Esrei. Any two words in Shemon Esrei, even if it's Baruch Atah, in the very beginning, you don't repeat your Shemon Esrei. You go through with the rest of your Shemon Esrei. But if you forget Morid HaGoshem, in your Shemon Esrei, you have to repeat your whole Shemon Esrei. Why? Because the whole point of davening is to get rain. The same Talmud Matzil Rochi, you skip out on those words, you got to repeat your davening. Says for Shav. The Pshat is because that's what we were created for in the first place. The very first tefillah that we ever had was for rain. It's an unbelievable power. What does rain do? Rain is supposed to bring about Tchias HaMesa. That's the idea behind what rain has the power to do. Rain is supposed to be able to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the towel out and rain it upon us, and we'll be able to come up from the dead. That's the power of our tefillah, and that's the power of rain. Well, anything else in Shemon Esrei is not the same. You don't repeat. This, you must repeat for. You must repeat for. It's an unbelievable thing. I'll end up with one of them, the Maral Diskin. It says in the word V'achalti, I ate from the Eitz Hadas. He says the word, the Medrash brings down, it says, V'ochel. I ate from the Eitz Hadas, and I would eat it again. That's what he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what did you do? He said, I ate from the Eitz Hadas. And I would do it again if I had it. I would do it again. You're saying that to God? You said that to God? I mean, you're honestly, you're going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, by the way, I would give it to me again. I'm fine. I would do it two times, three times, four times. I don't care how many times. There? What?
It says it straight out.
V'achalti is the word V'achalti, and I ate. And I ate. V'ochel is brought down by the Medrash. V'ochel, and I would eat it again. That's what he's trying to say, and I would eat it again. Where's the wording? Hold on 1 second. The wording is... He said... Here we go. He says, yeah, here we go. He says, oh, and it says the word, va'ochel. Va'ochel. And I would eat again. Achalti, va'ochel. I ate it, and I would eat again. So what's the trap behind that? Shat is, Adam Rishon now had Yetzirah. Never had Yetzirah before. All of a sudden he has Yetzirah. He didn't understand what the concept was. I don't know what it's like. I feel like I have to eat this. You have a piece of cake in front of you. It's no longer like it was before the chait. Yeah, I don't care. Who cares about cake? Now it's like, I gotta eat this piece of cake. You see something and you want it. And Adam Rishon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ate it. And I don't know why, but I want to eat it again. I know it's wrong. But I have this Yetzirah that's telling me, do it, do it, do it, and I can't stop it. What am I supposed to do? Yes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu prays. That's what we're like. We have it inside us. It's sitting there inside us. And look what we've become. What we've become. It's just ridiculous. We can't get over it. We say Vohel. Even though we know it's bad, we know it's horrible, we know it's the worst thing we could possibly do, I would eat it again. Give me another chance. I'll do it again. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to kick him out from the Eitz HaChaim. Couldn't let him be there for the Eitz HaChaim. Because he would eat from it. Now he had the Eitz HaRa. Now he would eat from it. Now he would live forever. But it's bad for you. You need to die to get a kapara. You need the death as a kapara for you. You're not going to be rewarded. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be angry with you. I don't care. I'll do it anyway. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.